gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, you are listening to Broken But
Glorious!
Hulk Hogan, Hollywood Hulkster, whatever they call you, I'm coming after you, you coward!
I'm Chris Lappin and welcome to the show. Tonight we're going to be counting down the top 10 wrestling gaming crossovers, and I'm delighted to be joined for this countdown by the Arcade Glitch and Crash, or should I say King Crash. So how you doing this evening, lads?
Hi guys.
Hello.
Good to be back.
Crash, you're now King Crash. Do you want to tell the listeners how you got that title?
I am, so I can't remember the date specifically, I really should, but sometime in June, there was a RWA King Rumble, which I entered, and I won. Hooray. Yay!
Hi, Sam. We're also joined for the countdown by Mark Fox from the Grapple Arcade. How you doing, Stephen, Mark?
Good, mate. How are you doing?
I'm really good.
Nice one.
Yeah, so I hear on the grapevine that you're now working with Defiant Wrestling.
We did an after party for them recently, and hopefully we'll be doing some Morbid and pieces of those guys going forward. Great couple of nights. The tournament that they did last Monday and Tuesday at the O2 in Newcastle. Really, really good night. But, you know, it's one of those things where, fingers crossed, going forward, there's going to be more opportunities to do some bits and bobs with them.
Cool. And what other events have you got coming up?
Well, we've just finished a stint of about 7 or 8 in a row. So we're having a bit of a break, I think, until early, mid-August.
Yeah.
Thankfully, but we've released the beer that I think we were talking about on the last one.
We were, yeah.
Called Moonsault. So that's now about to be shipped across the country, which will be cool. It coincides with me deciding to stop drinking alcohol about 3 weeks ago. So I'm teetotal now, and I've got a beer out. So, you know, I like to challenge myself as much as possible.
So for our top 10 to qualify, wrestlers, it had to be a wrestler's gimmick that was ripped off a video game character, it had to be a wrestling character in a non-wrestling video game, or a wrestler had to have voiced the video game character, and then sent it out to our Twitter universe, and they voted, and this is their top 10. So, number 10 was the independent wrestler, Player Uno. Any of you guys seen him live? Not live, but have you seen any matches though?
I've not seen him live.
Yeah, why would I?
They're based in Chikara, I remember when me and Glitch first started, he was recommended for us to look at, so we've seen a little bit of his stuff. It's very Mario Brothers-esque, I like his gear.
His tag team's called the Super Smash Bros, so definitely a Mario influence.
Yeah. I'd love to see the Super Smash Bros versus the Arcade, that would be funny.
Yeah, Player DOS didn't get much love from you, you only got 3% of the votes, whereas Player Uno got 55% of it.
Unacceptable.
Yeah, so he's yeah, he's wrestled as Chikara,
Ring of
Honor.
Guys in the next
I know, yeah, were we on this list?
I didn't think it was fair to put you on the list.
Who would get 10 of the votes?
Yeah, he's wrestled as Chikara, Ring of Honor, Dragon's Gate, Pro Wrestling Guerrilla. And he also has a couple of his finishers called the Bubble Bobble Buster. The Dig Dug Driver. Yeah, and he's had
that's a mouthful.
He's had his gear inspired by Mario, Luigi, Wario, and he always has NES or SNES colour themed tights.
Yeah, they do things like this. He presses the pause button on his trousers halfway through a match, and then it goes, the opponents freeze on the spot, and you can do some bits and bobs.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah, he does some stuff with that Chikara.
Yeah, I thought as much. Yeah.
He's very suited for Chikara style.
I thought I'd seen a couple of sessions.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Number 9 is gonna be fun because we've been arguing about how it's pronounced all afternoon.
are we all gonna give it a go? Is that what we're gonna do?
I think he's called a baddie because he's a baddie.
I'm gonna go for Abadiddy.
Abadiddy.
I'll go for Abadidi. That's how I was going to do it, Abadidi.
Abadidi.
Abadidi, there we go. We win. Our votes win, right? 2-1.
Yeah, okay. What did you think he was called, Chris?
Abadi?
Abadi, are you just silent one of the D's for the crackers? Dropping one of the D's.
Abadi?
It'd make it easier.
Yeah, it's true, yeah.
Abadidi?
Yeah.
Oh, well, this is a reoccurring boss character in Street of Rage series, and it's suggested by Mark.
Yeah. So.
It's very, yeah, he has a huge mullet, face paint, he does lots of clotheslines with spandex, briefs, high knee boots, very Ultimate Warrior-esque.
Yeah, he looks very like the Ultimate Warrior and does some of his moves as well in the games.
Yeah, very similar. I would say they probably based it off the... Did he come out for, did the game come out first, or was Warrior out first? Ooh.
88 that came out, I think.
The Warrior.
Which one? Street of Rage 1?
Street of Rage 1.
Oh,
that's 80...
very similar,
wasn't it? 88, I think it came out.
Yeah, Warrior would have been around earlier then.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was very influenced because he had two Warrior signature moves. He had the running clothesline and he had the bloody slash. So.
Oh, definitely probably based off the Warrior then.
Oh. So, I was just going to say, kind of, he did a bit more in the second one, didn't he? He sort of, well, they souped him up a bit more, and he was a canny bit bigger in the second one, to say the least. It sounds about right, though, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You know, Warriors to go by. But he, yeah, there was another guy as well, because in the first one, there was several colour variants of him as you go through the levels.
Yeah.
And they became sub-bosses. But in the second game, Streets of Rage 2, there was another guy, like there was a, he had a colour variant, but he had his own name as well. I remember reading that.
I can't remember.
And I didn't realise at that time. Cassano?
Cassano?
There you go.
Random. I hope that isn't a reference to that ridiculous theory that there is two Ultimate Warriors. That would be really upset.
Well, Terry Von Erich. That was a rumour.
Yeah, that was the thing, wasn't it? Yeah.
the rumour was they used to use Terry Von Erich at Fate at Hell shows because Warrior didn't want to do them. So.
Oh, really?
So face paint on Terry Von Erich.
How did he run down the ring?
With great difficulty.
It's just Mellow Warrior. and number 8 was Mike Hagar from Final Fight. Surprised he's this low.
Legend. Not just Final Fight though. He was my go-to guy in Saturday Night Slam Masters as well.
Yeah, there seems to be a switch in his career. Capcom. From wrestler to politician between Slam Masters 2 and Final Fight.
Former wrestler turned mayor. Wow.
Yeah.
Well.
That might come true.
Again.
Maybe. We're very close to that currently.
Wait, didn't Jesse Ventura do it?
Yeah, I think Jesse Ventura did.
He was governor, wasn't he? Governor?
Was he governor? Was it? Governor?
Yeah. Oh, it's all the same. It's a miracle.
I also think he was loosely modelled around Macho Man, the way he used to, at the end when he held Jessica up on his shoulder, how it, how he used to hold Elizabeth up.
I've heard people compare him physically to Dan Severn, and that always amuses me as well, because obviously, like, facially.
He does look facially like Dan Severn.
Very, very much.
I thought that's more coincidental than anything.
Short hair and moustaches.
It's the guy who came around 10 years later.
Yeah, exactly.
More of a Don Morocco.
Well, first I thought Sergeant Slaughter, but I don't think Slaughter was typically what you... I mean, he's an American hero kind of character, actually.
It's true. But is he a politician?
No.
He'd be a shit politician, wouldn't he?
He could just yell at people.
Actually, to be fair, he'd probably be pretty good. He'd be like, just turn and court all the time, side with Russia occasionally. And then,
aren't you just describing Trump?
He basically is Trump. Turn and court.
Become an Iraqi sympathiser this summer. Be forgiven for all you've said to him. So, yeah. Yeah. WrestleMania 7, he was an Iraqi sympathiser, and then WrestleMania 8, he was teaming with Hacksaw Jim Duggan as an American hero.
That's a quick turnaround.
Yeah.
It's a quick fall from grace as well, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Main eventing the tag team with Jim Duggan. Following Mania.
Right, number 7 is the New Japan Wrestling Stars appearing in Yakuza 6. We've all decided we've never played this game.
Yeah. I don't have a PlayStation, so that's my excuse.
Yes, me too.
I've made a couple of notes.
That's a lie!
So, Yakuza 6 is an action-adventure game set in an open-world environment, which is played from a third-person perspective. The game features six New Japan wrestlers, Heishi, Tashihashi, Okada, Naito, and Yano amongst them. And they all play fictional versions of themselves, and they're all like, the heads of the bosses. They're the bosses of rival gangs within the game. That's as much information I can find about it. I didn't check the Wikipedia.
I'd love to know how Yano is supposed to be a believable evil mob boss.
Because maybe he's the first one you encounter.
But even still, if he's supposed to be an intimidating mob boss, Tori Yano is too nice.
Might as well just get a Besson in, you know what I mean?
Ishii, I could believe.
Card will just be a cool boss. He'll just stand back and watch us. It's one of them ones
in
the movies
like
where he's
the highest rated one out of all the wrestlers in it as well. He's got 80 next to his name.
It's interesting what they've done, because it's weird to see wrestlers kind of used as such a big icon, which is a big thing in Japan, whereas in our culture and in American culture, it's never been quite the same. I mean, obviously, you see people on TV, of John Cena on television shows, but to see New Japan wrestlers on advertisements and things for all over the place in Japan, it's very different.
That's strange.
I need to go and play that game. I played an earlier version of the game. I think it was in Yakuza, maybe 1 or 2.
I've never heard of it.
I didn't even realize it was 6 out.
I haven't written down when it came out, but yeah. I'd never heard of the game before I started researching for the list. So, number 6 is Kofi Kingston ripping off Eddie Gardo from Tekken.
Now, this is an interesting
rip-off.
At first, I just thought, oh god, is this just some kind of like Wikipedia related? Did they just basically see one guy and he looks a little bit like him? And then, no, there's a whole spiel about Kofi Kingston's talking about it.
He did an interview and just said he's highly influenced by him. His moveset to his laid back style. He was one of my favourite wrestlers. Guys to play with on Tekken. I don't remember him being that hard to learn all his moves.
Yeah, I think Eddie Gordo's not one of the main ones on Tekken, so it's kind of like Kofi Kingston a little bit, where he's overlooked slightly. They both have that overlooked aspect, because everyone else plays only better like Tekken, well-known Tekken characters, like maybe one that will appear later on in this list.
Maybe.
I always like the wrestling ones, because I can never remember the sequences, how to do the hard moves, once you get to the faster ones.
Just button mash, surely, let's just kick everything at once.
Then you have that friend who sits there all day and learns them, and you're like, oh, they battier every time, they've learned the hard moves. Hey, Chris here. So our friends from across the pond on the View from the Top Rope podcast discussed their favourite crossovers for us, and here's what they had to say.
Well, this isn't necessarily my favorite, but I mean, not a big gamer, but I got one that was like a genre crossover with wrestling as a whole. I'm going with WWE Crush Hour. Basically just twisted metal with WWE characters and themed cars. And I mean, it was okay. It wasn't as good as twisted metal, but yeah, so I thought that'd be a fun answer because like, it wasn't just like a wrestler like character. It was a whole, like, the whole promotion with a whole other game mixed together, you know?
I like your answer a lot. My favorite ever wrestling character in any video game ever is the Tekken series. And I am taking King, who is a man who wears a jaguar mask. And in a game, you can do a combo series of throws where literally your opponent can do nothing. And it starts with a figure four leg lock, and then you go into a power bomb. You go into a little bit of dragon twist. You can go a bunch of different ways, but it always finishes with a super muscle buster. And King from the Tekken series is by far the greatest wrestling character of all time in any video game, without question, because his combo set of moves is so much fun that if you figure out how to do it, you're unstoppable because you can literally take their whole health from their top to like, maybe down to like 5% after you finish your combo set of moves. and they have nothing else they can do. You can't stop it. It's a great, great thing. And King is the king of wrestling video game characters from Tekken. And we have to thank Broken But Glorious, who was at BBGW Pod, for that great question.
Huge thanks to Chad Diesel. You can find him on Twitter at ViewFromTheTopRope. Right, next one. One of you is going to have to help me with this because I've never played Saints Row, so it's RVD as the voice of Bobby.
Oh, yes. Yeah, so in Saints Row 3, there is a whole, well, I'd say subplot, but it's actually a lot part of the plot, that one of the enemies is a professional wrestler called Killbane, who's a luchador.
Yeah.
And a lot of the plot is centered around trying to remove his mask and a commentator on anything wrestling related in that game. And I'm pretty sure the sequel as well. Rob Van Dam appears as the commentator.
Yeah.
And Hulk Hogan appears as an allied protagonist as well.
Yes.
Which I find weird, because Hulk Hogan plays a luchador, and you don't establish Hulk Hogan's voice as a luchador.
Yeah.
Like, you know, that's the weird one for me.
But there was a whole, it's very central to the plot, which is interesting for quite a mainstream game, but interesting tie-in. I think it was Saints Row 1 or 2 that was actually advertised on WWE a lot when it came out. So there must be a tie there somewhere as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, but when I looked at, well, I listened to a couple of the videos of him doing commentary, it sounds like he's trying to do a bad Hulk Hogan impression as a commentator.
He does sound like the very cheesy, he sounds a lot, like a lot of generic commentators, to be fair, to Rob. I think he was intentionally doing that.
Intentionally doing bad commentary.
Yeah. Roddy Piper appears as himself in Saints Row 4 as well, because that's a strange dream sequence thing you go through.
Yeah, it's basically a rerun of him and Goldust from this name.
Yeah, it's kind of like a big thing on They Live as well.
Yeah.
Because you relive some of the scenes from They Live.
Wow, that's fun.
So that was it. So there's a lot of tie-ins between Saints Row and wrestling.
Is the WWE game still made by THQ these days?
No, it's 2K.
It's 2K.
It's 2K, isn't
yeah.
it? All right. Because that was going to be the obvious tie-in, but maybe not.
Yeah. I mean, there might have been at the time.
Yeah, because Saints Row 3, especially if you did a running attack move, you'd do very common wrestling moves.
Oh, yeah, like drop kicks and DDTs, yeah.
Bulldogs and seated sentons if you're, like, sprinting at an opponent and doing a running attack. So they may be used, when THQ had WWE, they might have used their game capture mode to transport that into the game, maybe.
Yeah, so we had, as I said, there's a couple. So I'll go through. So Roddy Piper got 11% of your votes. Killbane and Luchador's got 5%. And then Hulk Hogan has the voice of Angel de
Muerto?
Muerto, possibly, yeah. He only got 3% of your votes. But I heard that Hulk's did a pretty good job. But when I listened to him on YouTube today, it's a weird Hulk Hogan Spanish sentence.
Yeah. Spanish. Bless him, that might be the only time Hulk Hogan ever played a character that wasn't just himself.
Yeah. Oh, do you remember that? Oh, the Hulk's Knows Best, where they tried to get the whole family to speak Spanish. It just reminded me of that. So, Lindos. Alright, next. Number 4 was Wrath, Glacier, and Mortis when WCW ripped off Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, I think these were the ones on the list that everybody probably would have known about.
Yeah.
Like, because it was a big thing with WCW ripping off Sub-Zero from Mortal Kombat and spending, estimated $35,000 just on his attire.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Did you hear they wanted RVD to
No wonder that company went out of business. Spending $35,000 on a wrestler's attire.
Now, I get that one. I mean, I'm guessing is there any particular people that they're meant to be sort of portraying? Any particular characters from Mortal Kombat? Obviously, apart from Glacier Sub-Zero.
Yeah,
Wrath, I couldn't work out.
Mortis is meant to be a Greek.
Mortis
is meant to be Scorpio.
Scorpion. Is he? Okay. Right.
Apparently. You know that RVD was meant to be. Well, you got asked to be Glacier originally. But,
yeah, I've heard that, yeah.
Paul Heyman talked him out of it. 2013 interview, RVD said it's probably the smartest thing of his career any thanks. Poor Hayes. Right, so, yeah, so as you say, Mortal Kombat was massive in the early 90s, and to cash in on it in 2006, they debuted Glacier on an episode of Nitro. And then early 2007, they brought in Mortis. Who was...
2007, that's not...
2007.
Sorry,
1997.
That doesn't sound right.
1997. Do you know who played Mortis? And...
Was it the guy who played Atom Bomb?
He played Raph.
Oh, he played Raph. Right, okay. Yeah, that's
Brian.
Right.
Was it Brian?
Chris Canyon.
Chris Canyon was Mortis.
Yeah.
Yeah. So basically, yeah, we brought in. Yeah, they put a mask on him basically so he could feud with Glacier, because Glacier had gone defeated for a year according to this.
I was never a WCW guy massively. I was more WWE. But did these guys like? Did this work? Is what I'm thinking.
No.
Did people buy this? No.
Bombed.
No, people shit all over Glacier from day one. It was like it was the most ridiculous. People just booed him straight from the off.
Well, he was meant to be a martial arts expert, but he didn't have any martial arts because they wanted it to be Bob Van Dam.
That's right, yeah. Well, his whole entrance to the ring was like fake snowstorms and all sorts of nonsense, wasn't it? And then he got there and did a sort of little, you know, air-punching, air-kicking exercise, warmed himself up, and I think it was about 7 or 8 minutes in total for his entrance. and then he was terrible.
Yeah.
He was terrible. Whereas Morrison, well, Raph was a powerhouse, and you've got to give him a bit of credit, Yeah, it was Adam Bomb, so it was Brian Clark, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Brian Clark.
Yeah.
And Mortis. I thought Chris Canyon was a good wrestler, actually. Yeah, I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Out of the three, he was the one who had the most appeal for me personally. I thought he was the better of the three in terms of entertaining.
Yeah, after he was Mortis, he went on to be in Raven's Flock. No,
that's right, yeah.
What a strange change. Yeah.
Yeah, and then... Brian Clark went on to being Chronic with Crush. Brian Adams.
That's right.
Yeah. Chronic Crush, yeah.
They had a pretty successful run in WCW and then went to WWE and one match with Kane and Undertaker, who got voted for the feud of the year, worst match of the year.
terrible match.
But yeah, but completely bombed, and I'm quite surprised it got 60% of your votes. But it's very memorable as a proper rip-off. So number three is King from Tekken.
Yeah! Go, Tiger! Go, Tiger!
What a character he was to use, especially where Tekken 2 and we could upgrade to Armor King.
Yeah.
And, oh man, just the fact that he had a leopard's head.
it's basically a lucha mask.
Yeah. It was pretty in-depth though, I mean, he had fans and everything to be fair, so it was a good mask.
I read here that Minoru Suzuki actually did the motion capture for King in the Tekken games.
No way.
Yeah. Now that would be, imagine like, oh yeah, Minoru, can you just redo that footage again? And he just gives you that stern look and you're like, okay, no, that's good.
Well, I can see that. I heard that, I read that King was a Catholic priest who became a masked wrestler in order to save his orphanage, which sounds like a bad Jack Black.
It's based on a real story. I'm pretty sure it was a thing that happened, which is why they were both inspired by, but I'm not 100% on the details.
So he participated in both wrestling and martial art tournaments to win money for his orphanage, and then he died in Tekken 3. And then one of his students took on the King moniker.
Hence the Tiger Mask, the legacy, so to speak.
Legacy and the Tiger Mask, yes.
Again, he was one of my favourites to play with because he was easy to play with.
Yeah,
King was, my favourite character in Tekken as well.
Yeah. Somehow I managed to go until very recently not realising that he was in any way wrestling related.
Really?
And now it's blatantly obvious. He's got a title belt and everything. I've never even thought about it. But I've looked at his list of moves now as well. And it's...
You do suplexes and pile drivers and stuff as well.
Yeah.
John Cena's STF, Tombstone Pile Driver, Muscle Buster, Kate Sting Roberts DDT, Sting Scorpion Deathlock, or the Sharpshooter, Boston Crab, Giant Swing, Camel Clutch, Frankensteiner, Atomic Drop, Wrist Lock, Knee Cross Lock, chokeslam, powerbomb, suplex, backslam, and German suplex. Yeah. And I didn't notice.
Wow.
I do remember being able to do the suplex. I knew that move. It was like more like a stand than suplex. Yeah. Anything else to say about King?
He's great.
I really wish I was in that room when Minoru Suzuki was doing the motion capture. I would have loved to have been there for that, just to see him like do all these and ask the guy just asking, "Can you do that again?"
So number two was Suicide from Impact Wrestling. Got 62% of your vote. So it's a bit of a strange one, was Suicide, because he was originally made by Midway Games. He was as a playable character in Impact Wrestling, the TNA Impact video game. But before the character was made, the jump from video games to TV, he debuted at Final Resolution by attacking the Motor City machine guns. But in the game, he goes for the world title, but in real life, he never got anywhere near the world title.
He was an X Division champ a fair few, I want to say like four or five at least. He had that belt a fair few times.
He's my son's favourite TNA wrestler.
He's been played by a lot of big names, to be fair.
I was
going to
say, seven people have portrayed Suicide. Do you want to try and name them?
I know three.
Yeah.
No, it was Christopher Daniels, Frankie Kazarian, and TJ Perkins played him. Austin Aries.
Yeah.
Kiyoshi,
yeah.
Did AJ Styles do him at one point, maybe?
No. I think the next one's basically who's played with it now. One played him.
All right.
So Jonathan Gresham, you probably know him from ROH. He played more.
I know the name more than I know who he is, to be honest. Though
he played him on the one night stands they used to do.
So yeah.
I asked him on Twitter, and he basically turned up. He fitted in the suit.
Isn't Jonathan Gresham quite small though? Like, so
yeah,
how,
you,
like,
could, you could tell it was a different guy playing him.
Yeah.
He changed the name, didn't he, at one point as well? Suicide to Manic?
Yeah, but TJ Perkins.
Yeah. Perkins was under it. I was at the TNA show in Glasgow during the, was it like 2010 or something like that? 2009? I can't remember. But I'm pretty sure it was Kazarian who was under the mask at the time.
Yeah.
And him and Alex Shelley were just taking the piss. They were doing a meet and greet and they were just running around, just sort of running between the fans and just like slapping some mojo on the back of the head and just running off. It was good crack, actually. It was quite good crack, but yeah, it's my only memory of Suicide at all, to be honest.
That's totally something I could see myself doing at a meet and greet.
Yeah, you can't take it seriously, can you?
Totally just like running around the crowd, like just going up, just grabbing random people and just taking them to your store, like, come meet me!
Yeah. I will mask if you did.
So Caleb Connolly was the seventh person. So I'm guessing he's Connolly. Right. Is he one of the Trevor Lee's tag team partner? Cult of Lee.
I can't think. I need to watch more Impact. I've only just started getting back into it again after the barren years of it being so poor.
Yeah, same here.
I've still got it to watch. Apparently, from everything I've heard so far, it was a cracking pay-per-view the other night.
Yeah.
Yeah, I watched it last night and it was really good. Slammiversary was this year. Like, it looks like they're on the way back up, which is good for all wrestling.
I don't think I've seen anything since about 2012, to be honest. So I haven't really paid any attention.
I stopped wrestling. I stopped watching a couple of months into Hulk Hogan Bischoff coming in.
That was about 2012 when I finished. I can't remember roughly. When did Hogan come in? Was it 2010?
That was a bit later than that.
Yeah, I think around there. I thought it was 2010.
At the same time that Brett returned to WWE at the same time, didn't he?
I got sucked back in for the Aces of Eight storyline because I was like, oh, I wonder who these people are.
Yeah,
it turned
out
to just be really old people.
That was a good storyline.
Yeah.
I thought the concept was really good.
Yeah, but
it just ended up being a bit NWO washed, didn't it? Instead of just hired anybody.
Yeah.
Anybody who was there. Put a vest on.
Like, Taz, who couldn't wrestle. Dealer Brown, who couldn't wrestle. Luke Gallows, he never wrestled, even though they had Luke Gallows as one of them.
Brown was about the size of Mark Henry by that point as well, wasn't he?
Mike Nuts. We brought people in, but the only person who ever wrestled, the whole thing was built around Bubba Ray in the end. And he's like, well, all the rest of the guys are really good at wrestling. Nuts and Gallows would have made a decent tag team in that division.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
Yeah.
And then they had Mr. Anderson as well at one point, and he just didn't do anything when he was there either.
He just looked like a mechanic. He didn't look like part of a
game. Yeah, he looked weird. He did not fit them. What?
And yeah, Garrett Bischoff, wasn't it? I mean,
he looked like a sort of a Murdoch when, can you remember when he used to wear the sort of like linen shirt and stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah. He was a wrestler. I really enjoyed Murdoch in the years, but anyway, we'll leave that there.
Alright, so number one, 66% of your votes is Zangief from Street Fighter.
Geef. Absolutely love Zangief. A friend of mine called Nicky Hadashroom, he does a lot of Capcom tournaments. Like he's part of, I don't know, they do some kind of touring thing where they fly them around the world to do competitions and stuff like that. Anyway, he's lucky enough to have been or missed or be one of those kind of guys, one of those dudes who do all that. And his Street Fighter guy by choice has always been Zangief. And I think Zangief's a lot of time, and once you learn his time, because he's obviously slow and he's, you know, Well, that's the thing, exactly. And but once he catches you, and if you can knock out that spinning 360 power driver, then, you know, it's three quarters of the energy bar is gone. So he's pretty good. He's kind of hard.
Yeah, he's billed at 400 pounds and over 7 foot, so he's one of the tallest people on the entire Street Fighter roster. Do you think there's Zangief name?
Does that mean he'll have the highest health?
Possibly. Doesn't say. Do you think Zangief possibly survived from a real-life wrestler called Victor Van Zangief? He was a Soviet amateur wrestler who trained in New Japan. You know, competed for WCW and UWF International, apparently. I'm guessing he wrestled under a different name, so I don't remember that name. WCW.
No.
So again, his moveset was Pile Drivers, the Iron Claw, Brain Buster, Flying Body Attack, Double Lariat, and Screw Power Driver, which is very similar to like Hagar's moveset. I mean, they explain it on the Street Fighter Wiki. Zangief has Hagar's moves because he went to see his fights and decided the Double Lariat would be his like tribute to Mike Hagar. So that's why he uses very similar movesets. And then Hagar responded by saying,
"Seen him, thought it was cool."
Yeah,
ripped him off.
Oh, this is tribute to him. I've come to the Street Fighter Wikipedia page.
We've also seen Zangief has some alternate costumes where he dresses as Macho Man and Undertaker, so obviously they got a little bit more obvious with the reference later on.
Never seen that. Is that later? It must be later games. I don't remember.
I think it is, one of the more alternate costumes.
Hmm. So he had a Mike Hagar attire in Street Fighter 4. Tribute attire, remember that. Right, so what did you think of the list? Was there anyone that you were surprised weren't on the list?
Us. Well. No, I'm only messing. I was glad to see someone from Saints Row on the list.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's my big takeaway.
I was quite surprised that there was such a big gap between, RVD got 55% of the votes and then the rest of them were like 11-4-3.
I'm really surprised that he won, to be honest. He would have been my last on that list. I would have put Hogan above him, I would have put Piper above him, I would have put the main plot of Saints Row 3 is about luchadors, so I would have thought that would have won.
Whether people just saw RVD and thought, I like RVD.
Maybe.
I think I'm surprised more than anything that there hasn't been a lot, like, well-known, if you like, wrestlers who've been main casted in computer games in general. I mean, you see some of the names on there, and I think it's fair to say that any wrestler on there where there's the link to the computer game side of things, they're sort of, maybe IC in the Continental sort of side, rung of the ladder.
The Rock's been in a couple, but every game's done
so. The likes of Hogan, for example, I'm surprised he hasn't been in a shitload more computer games in general. Just he seems to be, he's the kind of person who wants to be literally on anything he can get to make a quid, kind of, so it's just, I'm surprised he hasn't been more in that kind of sport.
I think it may be a cultural thing, because, like, we were saying before, like, in New Japan, like, they are big marketing guys, like, the wrestlers over there. Like, I mean, maybe John Cena might voice people in a few years, and, like, maybe The Rock might get the video game character that's basically after him, because and Steve Austin maybe as well, because they're very recognizable figures. But yeah, I don't. I'm well, surprised about that as well.
Well, Steve Austin, I suppose he was in the Celebrity Deathmatch computer game.
Yeah, and he was on this list in the Family Guy mobile game. I think he was one of the he was a playable character on that. I've never played
as himself.
Yeah.
How did T.J. Perkins do? Was he on the list?
Well, he just had suicide.
Oh, right, okay. Because obviously his current gimmick thing is he's a gamer. I mean, he doesn't use it very much. His music is the main thing these days.
Yeah.
I love his Titantron, though. His Titantron was cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Also, he used to go across and say, select. Select.
Yeah.
T.J. Perkins.
I think his music is a very close thing to an old Mega Man theme. I think I've read that somewhere.
Alright. Maybe if we do the list again, I'll put T.J. Perkins on it.
I'm surprised about there's no females on this list, though. Like, that's female wrestlers.
Leva Bates could be argued. I think she's done a lot of shows recently dressed as Overwatch characters, I think. But it's less of a known thing, because Leva Bates is a little bit less popular.
Yeah, but like, no female wrestlers have even like voiced characters or anything. Like, that's a surprise.
That's true.
Maybe it might happen in the future with more...
Again, I wouldn't be surprised if a company who knew a little bit more about wrestling did ask Leva Bates to do something, because she's quite popular in things these days. She's on the rise.
Yeah. I think she's really good, Leva Bates.
I really like Leva Bates.
I like doing NXT as Blue Pants.
Blue Pants, so. Yeah.
All right, so that was our list. Thank you for everyone for voting, and thanks to the lads for joining us. Mark, do you remind us where people can see your stuff? What things you've got coming up?
No problem, man. We're doing running the retro section, retro game section at a big convention in the northeast quite soon called Nethermind, which is a massive kind of Minecraft stroke Fortnite big empire.
Wow.
So we'll be around the corner for everybody else who can't be asked for that stuff.
My son's two favorite games are Fortnite.
Yeah, pretty much the way it goes, isn't it? So yeah, I'll be around the corner with all the dads basically. And some WrestleFest and whatnot. But I think that's other than that, we've got a couple of other bits and bobs, hopefully. Well, it all depends, really, on what crops up. Hopefully more stuff at Defiant over the next few months when they settle down in Newcastle. But, yeah, a few bits and bobs going on. We might be joining forces with another gaming crew from up here and taking on a venue as our own. So lots of things in the pipeline, basically. Keep your eyes open for Moonsault beer as well, if you drink beer. Get it right.
Salt.
You got it.
I'll
into
keep an eye out for it.
I spelt it without the U, though. It's just Moonsault, like an ingredient.
All right, so.
Oh, like, just S-A-L-T.
Yeah.
Oh, I've only just clicked you on about... Oh, I've been really stupid and I just realised you meant Moonsault as in the wrestling move. I was like, why have they called it Moonsault this whole time? Oh, I'm really stupid.
That's what I thought with the King thing before. I guess we're equal.
Oh, now I feel silly.
And where can our listeners see you at the arcade in the near future?
We are wrestling. Our next show is at RWA Boiling Point, which is on Saturday the 18th of August in Runcorn at the Grangeway Community Centre. The doors open at 1:30 p.m. Show starts 1:45 p.m. And all tickets for adults, kids, everything are £4.
I'm glad you knew that because I forgot.
I got it up in front of me.
And you don't know. Perhaps you've just won the Royal Rumbles. That can you pick a title or go for it?
I mean, the last King went for the RWA Heavyweight title, so. Maybe it's in my King contract if I have such a thing that I can go for a title, so maybe we can get our tag titles back, hopefully.
We did lose a last chance match for them, though, so I don't know about that.
Yeah, but he's got his... Is it like option C, where you could hand your crown in?
Something to discuss with the RWA management, I guess.
All this information will be in the description below. So, do you want to promote your social media, Mark?
Yeah, main one to go for, because I can't be arsed with any of the other ones, to be quite honest, is Twitter, which I tend to be doing these days, and it's at Grapple Arcade. Yeah. G-R-A-P-P-L-E Arcade.
We go for yours, lads.
Mine is Twit. Yeah, I know, there's that awkward moment where we're waiting for each other. Yeah, so I'll go first. So my Twitter is at Crash Wrestler. No spacing, just everything all at once.
I am at Sam the Glitch.
Yep. And you can also check out our recent interviews with Moose, which also included my question.
Moose.
I wanted to ask him that.
I know that they...
Why he does...
Well, where he got his hand gesture thing from.
I forgot. So, yeah, which also includes my questions from the Impact teleconference with Austin Aries and Johnny Impact. We'll be back for our next show. Yeah, we'll see you at SummerSlam. That's our next show after this comes out. Right, so thanks for joining us, lads. And we'll see you again soon. Good night.
Nice.
Always. Goodbye.
End of it.